and welcome to the 11th episode of the Mongolog Podcast. I am your host, John, and I almost screwed up the word podcast for a second. That was weird. Anyways, it has been a while. The last episode that I created was Boruto. That was episode 10, and that came out December 12th. So it's been a month, actually, a little over a month. And I think what I'm going to do next year, so that you guys aren't left in the dark, is have the podcast go on like a 1 month hiatus. So between the last 2 weeks of December and first 2 weeks of January, because that time is just really hectic. And I really don't want to leave you guys in the dark and, you know, lose listeners that have been listening pretty regularly because, you know, they don't see that an episode, they see that an episode hasn't been updated in four weeks. So, I'm going to get better about that. I need to basically keep you guys informed more often. So because of that, I finally set up the email for this podcast. So it's mongologpod@gmail.com. That should be in the show notes. I believe I got that correct, or I got that right. So now if you guys want to send in feedback or pretty much anything, any way that you want to get in touch with me, you can through the email, the podcast email. And I'm in the process of setting up a Twitter. I just got to get the, you know, images and so on and so forth. And then I'm going to start, you know, basically networking with other podcasts, following other ones so that they can follow me back and hopefully get some cross promotion done. That would be cool. So the Twitter is in the process of being set up. I will definitely have that in the show notes for, maybe for this episode. If not, then definitely next week's episode, assuming next week's episode comes out on time. And I think what I'm going to do, since I usually have Mondays off at work, I think these episodes are going to come out every Monday. No guarantees. I just know they're going to come out at least once a week. What time during the week, it can be just whatever time I'm able to sit down by myself and record and upload this thing. I just want to thank you guys for your patience, and I'm sorry for keeping you in the dark. This episode, what I was trying to do was just release a lot of back-to-back episodes to kind of keep up with the number of releases I should have for the year. And that just wasn't happening. So instead of trying to bust my butt to like release like, I think I owe you guys like 5 episodes now, I'm just gonna just basically start from where I was. So this episode is on Berserk by Kentaro Miura. And I'll announce next week's episode at the end of this episode. So it was quite of a big introduction, but it's been a while. So just to let you guys know, my holiday season, Christmas and New Year's went okay. Definitely picked up a bit of manga, so I have more material for the podcast. As it stands now, I'm pretty broke, but that's all right. I should be good for the next few months in terms of podcast material. Not to mention that Shonen Jump rebranding that they started finally released, and that has been pretty cool. There's tons of manga on there to read, and I've been enjoying that during my time off, not gonna lie. And yes, I have been reading manga during my time off when I haven't been recording this podcast, because it's been easy to just lay down in bed and read. But I can't exactly use that time to record because, you know, it's nighttime and I'm not trying to record late at night when I want to be relaxing in bed. Apologies if I make these short pauses in between. It's just I'm recording close to the time, like, my brothers come home and stuff, and I just want to make sure that when they do come home that the background noise doesn't pick up and stuff like that. So I'm trying to listen out for if anybody comes through the door. Plus, my dogs will just bark, which nobody wants to hear. So yeah, we have Berserk. I don't know how much time I'm going to spend on this, but around Black Friday, I did pick up the first 3 volumes. They were on sale digitally. And I've read almost the entirety of those 3 volumes except for the last chapter of that last volume, because it starts a new arc, the Golden Age arc, and I figured for this podcast I would just cover this based on my impressions of the Black Swordsman arc, which is the first arc of the manga. I can't speak for the anime, but that's where the manga starts, is the Black Swordsman arc. I know there's like 3 different adaptations of the manga. There's a 1997 anime, and there's a 2016-2017 anime. And then there's the anime film series, which I think is like three different films covering the Golden Age arc, which is the arc I'm about to get into next at the end of this third volume. But the manga is 40 volumes so far, and it's still ongoing. They just come out at a very slow clip, I think sometimes to the point of like once a year or something like that. Thankfully, I've got quite a while before I catch up. And if you guys decide to pick up the manga or, you know, follow along, you've got plenty of material to read through. Yeah, so Berserk is written and illustrated by Kentaro Miura. I think now he has like a team of people that help him draw this thing, because let me tell you, the art, even in this in these early volumes, is just, it'll blow you away. It's kind of crazy, the level of detail that you see in this manga. And so it's published in English by Dark Horse, and it's considered part of the seinen demographic, which is like adult male, probably like, I believe, like mid-20s, that kind of area. That said, it really depends on your tolerance level for certain things. This is considered a dark fantasy manga, so it's not... If you like things like Lord of the Rings or something, you might not be totally into this, because it's a fantasy world, but the material is very, very explicit, very dark, very disturbing. The art, because it's so detailed, just really exemplifies that fact, or really, I don't know what the word is, but basically the stuff, kind of stuff you see in this manga, you're not going to want to be reading around other people, and it'll stick with you if you're reading it by yourself in your room. Some of the imagery is just very graphic, both at a violence and gore level, and also just a sexual level. I mean, just like, it crosses a lot of lines. So yeah, just a very big, big content warning. Berserk is notorious for, it has a reputation for being, rather dark. But it's not for shock value. It's not for, you know, it's not to be controversial. That's just the world that this, the mangaka decided to create. And that's just the world that this main character, his name's Guts, that's what he lives in. He's a mercenary, a traveling mercenary, that's dealing with basically demons. And he's basically on the run. I wouldn't say on the run, but he's constantly being followed by demons everywhere he goes. It's only tragedy really follows him. There's a lot of, just very... I want to say religious themes, because of the topic, the emphasis on these demons and Guts's history with them, and just the circumstances he ends up in, because of, he's like a radar for demons, basically. He has this scar on his neck that attracts them, I believe. It's still kind of a little shrouded in mystery. The origins of that scar, or that curse mark, or whatever you want to call it. So I'm not getting into super spoilers when I'm describing it, but yeah, it just brings him into all kinds of terrible situations. And I don't even know how to, like, I'm trying to avoid giving specific scenes away or anything, because I want to make sure this is somewhat family friendly. But when you're covering a series like that, like this, it's very hard. But yeah, there's very disturbing, I mean, you can read the first page of the first chapter and you already know what you're getting into in this manga. So if you think you could just flip through the first few pages, you might want to check yourself before you do, because there is some objectionable content for sure. But I don't want to focus too much on that, because that's not all Berserk is. There are a lot of It's a dark fantasy world, maybe more akin to Game of Thrones is like the closest parallel I could think of. But Game of Thrones, at least where I left off, focused a lot more on, you know, human politics and violence and stuff like that. When you start bringing demons into the picture, things get a little crazier, both from a violence perspective, but also just from an image, like, it's imagery's perspective, it's like a horror manga in a way, but it doesn't rely on like jump scares or anything like that, like, which is kind of hard to pull off in manga to begin with, but it's just like this sense of dread, the sense that evil is probably going to persevere throughout the entire story. Like, evil, you almost feel like evil is always going to win, even though, like, you follow Guts and he survives his encounters, obviously, because, you know, this whole manga series follows him, but he is just, when he, even though you think he's won a battle, you know he hasn't won, and you almost feel like he's never going to be at peace, and you feel for him. So there's just the horrendous things that he has to see, and the horrendous things that he does, and their reaction to the characters around him. Just this guy's, he's messed up. His humanity, you know, you question whether he's even human anymore because of the stuff that he's had to deal with. And humanity is a huge theme. Specifically, like, the what's good, what's evil, what is your destiny, what, you know, like, why are you here on this earth? Those kinds of things have popped up, I noticed, while reading these three volumes. Specifically, there is a antagonist who they introduce some, I think, in the third volume. So if you want to get to what the meat of this is, I definitely recommend reading up to the third volume and checking out the start of that Golden Age arc to really understand the direction that this manga is headed, because there's an antagonist, Griffith, I believe his name is, and he has a lot of the things that he says in, like, flashback sequences and stuff like that really make you question certain aspects about yourself, certain aspects about what you believe. It's very, very philosophical character. This manga goes a little bit deeper than just, like, swords cutting through mobs of demons. It's it goes deep, it's not for the lighthearted. It's not for the easily offended, or, you know, I'm not sure how to go about this, but I am thoroughly enjoying this series. I knew I would. It's one of the highest rated manga on my anime list. I noticed I didn't really go into I guess the main character, excuse the alarm, but the main character, Guts, like, who he is. I said he's a traveling mercenary. His origin's kind of shrouded in mystery until you get into the Golden Age arc, which I'm getting into shortly. But yeah, he's just really, like, really big, not big dude, but, like, he gives off this air of strength, and he's, like, wearing this, you know, big armor and has this massive sword. One of his arms is replaced by, like, a mechanical crossbow that he can shift into different forms. One's like a crossbow form, the other one, like, shoots freaking bombs. It's he's just like this one-man army, so it's really cool to watch him fight. But a lot of panels, a lot of scenes in the manga remind you that he's still human and he's not invincible. And it sucks because he's having to deal with these supernatural forces. And I've mentioned it before in other episodes, but I like stories where the tasks, where humanity has to struggle against this almost impenetrable, like, this impenetrable opposition. Like, it's almost a hopeless cause. Manga like Attack on Titan and The Promised Neverland definitely deal with topics like that. And I just love it because it keeps me engaged. I mean, I sped through this manga when I started reading it. Like, the manga volumes are a little bit longer than normal volumes, which is why they're a little more expensive. And despite that, I was blazing through these volumes. It's just a matter of, the reason why the episode took so long to come out is just a matter of me having be able to record this, sit down and record this on my own and upload it. But yeah, I just blazed through these when I started reading them. Like, I would finish them in one sitting, the volumes in one sitting, and then the next day I would do the next one and do the same thing. It was very easy to go through, and I don't know. I have nothing but good things to say about Berserk. It is just I mean, based on just the three volumes that I've read, I already feel like this is shaping up to be a masterpiece. And part of that I know is influenced by the fact that I know this has a reputation. Like this manga is very well renowned. But man, whew, some of the stuff is just, I can't wait to get more into. I can't wait to dive more into this series. But yeah, I guess to just sum things up, I mean, this Berserk is a series where you're gonna read it, and there's gonna be parts that make you uncomfortable. There's gonna be parts that make you fear for the fate of our protagonist. There's just gonna be some heartbreaking stuff. This definitely feels like, even though you're following a protagonist that survives a lot of the altercations that he's going through, this definitely feels like there's a sense of tragedy. And I suspect it's only gonna get worse as I learn more about Guts's background. What else should I get into? Just looking at the reception here, it says that the manga is one of is Dark Horse Comics, which is an American comic book seller. It's their best-selling product of all time. Over 2 million copies sold. It says Berserk outsells all other Dark Horse comic and manga series, making it a huge success. It says Berserk's manga volumes have topped Japanese manga charts, with volume 40 debuting as the best-selling manga for the week of its release. So I think, and not necessarily, not that business results or how much it sells equates to the quality of the series, but I just thought that was something interesting to point out, just so you have an idea of the perspective of how popular and how well received this manga is. I'm just trying to think of anything else. I know this manga is going to explore some things that, again, not every, and I have to emphasize this because I don't want you guys going into this like, hey, this podcast recommended this to me, so let me check it out, and then just be like, what the freak is this, so I definitely recommend you tread cautiously and be careful who you read this around. But it is, this it's not the gratuitous violence or sexual content that drives the sales, that drives the story. It's a lot deeper. Even on the few volumes that I've read, I know that this is the reason why people are drawn to this series, is because there's really interesting things that Miura is doing with characters, and just the themes that he brings up in this series. It's just makes you rethink a lot of things. The last time that a manga really made me think like this, or just a piece of media, was when I watched Devilman Crybaby earlier this year on Netflix. Which I know, I realize I haven't been doing this. I was contemplating whether to keep it a regular part of this podcast, but I guess my parting gift for this episode would be to check out Devilman Crybaby. Crybaby. Oh my God. You know how many people have pronounced that wrong? Like podcasts I've listened to where people say Devilman Crybaby. I don't know what it is. It's got to be some, like, just a combination of those two words. But anyways, Devilman Crybaby on Netflix. I definitely recommend you check that out. Especially if you already like Berserk, or vice versa. Check Berserk out if you like Devilman. Yeah, I wanted to go longer on this, and I wish I did a little bit more research and wrote down a few more notes. But I think this is just one of those things. Like, again, this podcast is like, I give you some basic details, pique your interest, and you discover everything else for yourself. Let me see. Yeah, I think that's it, guys. I'm sorry for the wait for this episode. It's been unnecessarily long. But again, I think next year I'm just going to say, hey, last 2 weeks of December, first 2 weeks of January, this podcast is on hiatus for those 4 weeks. That way I don't have to worry about trying to crank these out during the holiday season when things are just insane. Yeah, so, and I wrote this down, so let me go into my notes real quick. I wrote down what the outlook for the next few series I am going to be covering are. So next week, assuming all goes well, is going to be a manga series called Sweet Blue Flowers. So we're taking a total U-turn when it comes to subject material. Sweet Blue Flowers is, I think it's probably a, what's the word, shoujo manga, which means it's for young girls, probably, teenage years, that kind of thing. But it is a romance. So we're going a little different this time around. I've covered a lot of shonen, and I've covered, you know, some darker stuff. But this is going to be a complete U-turn and definitely out of my comfort zone. So I'm actually curious to see how I'm going to enjoy this. But right now there are, at least digitally, there are 4 volumes. And I think those are omnibus volumes. So they're like the really thick volumes that have like multiple volumes in them. So there's 4 of those. The series is complete. And so it's not a huge time investment. I think I'm going to just try to read all 4 of these. If possible, I'll get as far as I can. And but again, I don't imagine I'm going to be spoiling anything or anything. So I probably don't have to read 4 rhymes, but just because it's so short, I'm going to see if I can. So Sweet Blue Flowers, it's written, illustrated by, let me see, Takako Shimura. Okay, so that's written, illustrated by Takako Shimura. And of course, the name of the series and everything will be in the description. Again, my email is finally created, so you guys can check out the description in case you need a reminder on what the email is. Preferably, screenshot it, copy it before this episode ends, just so you have it. And send me any feedback, questions, your thoughts on Berserk, or if you want to send me some content for the Sweet Blue Flowers episode, if that's a manga that you've read, maybe you want to send me your impressions, please. I will read it out loud. If you, to make it even better, you can send stuff through the Anchor app. You can send audio of yourself speaking, and I will edit it to the best of my ability so that it sounds great in the episode. Just to break up the monotony of me talking, you know, for an extended period of time. It'd be nice to be able to break that up. I don't have like mid-show bumpers or anything like that, so maybe sometime down the line I could incorporate that kind of stuff if you guys get bored of listening to me ramble. I really want to do an end of the year thing, but then again, I started like, I don't even know when I started this podcast. It's been like a couple months, and it was towards the end of the year that I started, so it didn't feel right to do like an end of the year retrospective. So I think maybe this year I'll do that. And it'll be nice because I'll have a bigger audience, I assume. So by the end of this year, it's going to be nice to do a retrospective, see what my most popular episodes were, what were some of the favorite manga that I've read since starting, you know, the year. And like, what manga have I kept up with since I've premiered them on the show. That kind of thing. I think that would be really cool to do. But since I already have you guys here, and even though I, you know, just started the podcast, I did want to share some stats with you guys because I thought it would be pretty interesting. So the most popular episodes I've done right now is The Promised Neverland with 40 listens, which is pretty good considering that was my 4th episode. And I've just started this podcast not too long ago, and I wasn't expecting like hundreds of listeners from the beginning. So 40 for Promised Neverland is pretty freaking amazing. I guess I'll share my top 3. So yeah, there's Promised Neverland at 40. Then goes Dr. Stone at 23. Or I'm sorry. No, My Hero Academia Vigilantes at 24. And then Dr. Stone at 23 listeners. Boruto follows close behind that with 21. And then we have Tokyo Tarareba Girls with 18, Dragon Ball with 19, which I'm surprised Dragon Ball didn't get more traction, then Eden Zero and Pokemon Adventures with 16 listens. A couple of those listens are mine because I do listen to my episodes beforehand. But just the fact, I'm really shocked by The Promised Neverland, which I guess I shouldn't because it's a really popular series and the anime's airing right now, and that is going really well. But yeah, I just thought I'd share that with you guys. And, you know, we'll get a bigger taste of this, like, when I do, like, an end-of-the-year retrospective, further down the line in this podcast. But yeah, just because to start the new year off, and I know this is going to be a bigger episode, but it's okay because you guys have been waiting, like, a month anyways. I just thought that would be cool to share. I'm looking forward to seeing this podcast grow. So far it says I have 195 total plays of all time, which is cool. Average of 21.7 plays per episode. Really happy about that, to be honest. I'm not gonna lie. I wasn't even expecting that many listeners, to be honest. This is a very niche thing. Manga podcast. I mean, first podcasts are niche as it is, and then podcasts about manga are even more niche, especially ones with one man, you know, just a one man host. It's a one man show. So yeah, and so far the most popular listening platform I thought would be iOS, but that comes in second place. Actually, the most popular is Spotify, which was really, really interesting. Spotify is the most popular area where people listen to my podcast. So yeah, anyways, thanks a lot, guys. I will see you next week, and hopefully in a timely manner. All right, you guys have a good one.